Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Nicodemus is a teacher of Israel, a man well-versed in the things of God. He was well-qualified to recognize that because of the things that Jesus did, he had most certainly a special relationship with God. Today we would call Nicodemus a theologian. But as John tells us the story, it soon becomes evident that even though Jesus is religiously important, Nicodemus has no idea what Jesus means when he says that Nicodemus must undergo a complete change in his being if he's going to be included in the kingdom of God. Because of his sense of religious self-importance, Nicodemus, like his fellow brood of vipers, the Pharisees, had refused the baptism of John the Baptist. This would have required from them a public admission of sin. He, along with his fellow Pharisees, thought that debasing himself in baptism meant forfeiting his position as a teacher of Israel, disqualified him. Nicodemus wanted to come to God without facing up to the reality of who he really was. Without some remorse for sin, Nicodemus was not even ready for the most elementary catechism lesson. He wanted to come to God without the means of the Spirit. He could not accept that God was in the water of baptism, forgiving, regenerating, giving faith. Now, we encounter people like Nicodemus all the time. For them, religion, even Christian religion, is interesting, but it doesn't affect who they are or what they do. Since they live only for themselves, they can't understand how God lived and died instead for them. Any idea of God sacrificing himself for sinners in Jesus is completely unintelligible. So they might come to church out of curiosity or obligation, because mom or dad said so, but nothing in Christianity grasps their inner being. After a while, talking to these people becomes a waste of time. Thus, when Jesus finds that he's getting nowhere with Nicodemus, he just cuts the conversation short and sends the confused teacher away. It was just as the evangelist said at the beginning of the gospel. The light, that is Jesus, shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not figure out what it was all about. Since Nicodemus cannot confront his own moral inadequacy, his sin, he's not entitled then to learn of the mysteries of the Christian faith. Such great truths as that Christ is God's Son and that he died for sin are reserved for those who in baptism confess their sins, desiring forgiveness. Despite all of his superior religious qualifications, and no doubt he was a very religious man, Nicodemus will be excluded from knowing anything about the mysteries contained in the Holy Trinity. He will remain ignorant of the things of God and how he sacrificed his only Son for the world. The bottom line is that unless a person can face up to who he is before God, he can have no place in the kingdom of God. Levels of knowledge have little to do with salvation. Being smarter, knowing your Bible better, isn't the point, as good as it is. Baptism requires humiliation, self-abasement. Only those who come to John the Baptist, confessing their sins, found a place in the kingdom of God, as John said. Nicodemus was not among them. If there is a positive side to the personality of Nicodemus, it's that he's not a hypocrite. Others might have pretended to have some sense of remorse. He doesn't. Nicodemus may have been invincibly ignorant, but he could not pretend to be something he was not. But we must show how the invincible ignorance of Nicodemus and the humiliation of ourselves before God have something to do with this day, Trinity Sunday, with the depth of the mysteries and the wisdom and knowledge of God. Many people, not just Christians, regard Jesus as an important religious person, but probably just another one amongst many, admiring also Mahatma Gandhi or the Buddha or Mother Teresa, as also compelling religious figures whose words of wisdom are worth following. They have done things for others and stand in sharp contrast to those who live for themselves. If there is a God, then hopefully this God will live by the principles of these noble figures, be it Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or Gandhi or Mother Teresa. And that's not what Nicodemus needed, just another brilliant religious guru. Nicodemus did look at Jesus in this kind of light. He thought of Jesus as a teacher of Israel. He told Jesus he was convinced that God was with him because of what he was doing, the signs that he had performed. He even acknowledges that Jesus has a personal or special relationship with God. Nicodemus had a valuable insight in recognizing that Jesus had this relationship with God, and yet he did not recognize Jesus as God's unique and only Son. Since he did not know who Jesus really was, he couldn't understand what Jesus meant, that unless Nicodemus was born again or born from on high, he would not see the kingdom of God. Since he refused the baptism of John, he could not know the things of God. So things are no different now. Without the birth from heaven in baptism and by the Holy Spirit, Christianity will remain for unbelievers no more than just another philosophy, even a good one, but a religious option, just one amongst many others. Then follows what at the same time is perhaps the most humorous and pathetic discourse in the entire Bible. Nicodemus thought Jesus was asking him to crawl into his mother's womb and then be evicted again. The idea of shrinking ourselves into zygotes exceeds the bounds of normal sanity. No writer of fiction could have invented such a conversation. To keep matters straight, Jesus was not asking him to be born again, but to be born from on high, that is, of God. And so at this point, Jesus ends the conversation with these words, "You are a teacher in Israel, and you do not know these things?" As cruel as it might seem, obstinate unbelief makes additional religious discourse meaningless. The conversation was over. Because if Christianity is unintelligible to unbelievers, then unbelief to Christians is invincible stupidity. Arguments cannot overcome it, no matter how hard we try. The evidence of the apologetic enterprise, the accumulation of many Bible passages, or even the rehearsal of all the doctrines of the church, even in lengthy creeds, hasn't ever converted anybody. Unbelief can only be overcome by the Holy Spirit and the gospel and the sacraments. And even then, it's not automatic. The Holy Spirit converts whom he wants. There are no guarantees. In virtually every English Bible, you heard a verse incorrectly translated. Well, you heard it correctly translated, but it was wrong on the screen. It is not the wind that blows where it wants, but it is the Spirit who blows where he wants. In hearing preaching, we hear the Holy Spirit speaking, but we do not know what he will do or when he will do it. The gospel always contains the Spirit, but the Spirit works on his own schedule of what he will do and when. So it is with all things of God. Our Augsburg Confession teaches the same thing. God determines when he brings people to faith. As much as we would like to control things and expand the kingdom of God by our own efforts and strength, throwing around hundreds of thousands of dollars on high-priced techniques and low-cost gimmicks, truth is we cannot control the Holy Spirit. And when we do this, we are not letting God be God, and we become idolaters ourselves. So back to Nicodemus, he had refused the humiliating experience of being baptized by John the Baptist, but instead had gone directly to Jesus. In Lutheran terms, the means of the Spirit were not good enough for him, that baptism by John. Because he refused to be baptized, he could not recognize the very kingdom of God he wanted for himself, and it was standing directly in front of him. That's right, the kingdom of God is not the church. It is not something within us. It is not some far-off reality in another world. The kingdom of God is not something that just comes when we die. The kingdom of God is Jesus and nothing else. Nicodemus was staring right at the kingdom of God and did not see it. Because Nicodemus was blind in recognizing who Jesus really was, he was not allowed to hear that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man had to be lifted up, that whoever believes on him has eternal life. Nor will Nicodemus hear the greater Trinitarian mystery. God, the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, by the Spirit, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This knowledge is reserved for those who confess their sins before God and have received the divine name in their baptism. But things do change. Unlike today, sometimes too many things change all at once. And they change when we do not expect them. The Spirit not only drives forward, but he also drives in reverse. This man, Nicodemus, who avoided the self-humiliation which baptism requires, overcame the pride of religious accomplishment and social standing later. Jesus, in his death, was an offense to his own disciples, but remarkably, John tells us, not to Nicodemus. Jesus' body was destined for the common grave of criminals, but it was Nicodemus who helped Joseph remove the tortured body from the cross and carry it to the tomb from which Christ rose. From that tomb, we find resurrection for ourselves. When the Spirit blew upon him, Nicodemus finally realized that the kingdom of God only comes after we had died to sin, and that dying was in Christ, the man who he buried. So without our dying and rising with Christ in baptism, the Trinity remains distant and unintelligible. But in the cross, and the cross put upon us in baptism, we know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we receive everything that God has to offer. Today, many are asking whether we can find God outside of Jesus Christ. It's a crazy question. Even Nicodemus was looking for the kingdom of God apart from Jesus and didn't find it, even when that kingdom was right in front of him. The search for some continues, but the answer always remains the same. Believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you will be saved from sin, death, and hell. And by the Spirit, you will be given to know the things of God. Thanks be to Jesus in his holy name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.